Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trundy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saver calls from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, midwives prepare for Queensland Health's first home birth program. We're going to catch up a yarn and talk about this fantastic space to Kayleen Matthews, who's the Acting Midwifery Unit Manager, and got Kayleen on the line. Kayleen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Come to you from the Sunshine Coast and acknowledge our Gubbi Gubbi Cubby Cubby First Nations people. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Fantastic. Big shout out to the Cubby Cubby mob. Thank you for coming to the program. So, look, congratulations. Talk about midwives preparing for Queensland Health's first home birth program. With the thumbs up from government late last year. Tell us about the program, how it's going, and when did it commence?
Thanks, Trevor. So, yes, we did get the announcement that Sunshine Coast University Hospital would be the exemplar site for the Queensland's first publicly funded home birth. And from July this year, we have been able to establish this service and have rolled out with a very successful program to date.
Fantastic. And with that, having home births at home, do we require a doctor to be present or just midwives?
Yeah, really good question. So with our publicly funded home birth service, Trevor, it is for low-risk pregnancies, so It is completely midwifery-led, okay, with consultation along the way with our obstetricians if anything arises. So in the home, when we birth at home, we will have two midwives present. So your primary midwife will care for you throughout your pregnancy and be your attendant at birth, and you'll have a second midwife who you've hopefully met throughout the pregnancy also attend.
And so with that, for the mother-to-be, is that on the agenda, or is that a question that that is asked to, of the mother-to-be? Where do you want to have the baby, in the hospital, at home? Is that part of the application as such?
Yeah, another really great question. So we've had quite a number of women express an interest in having a home birth on the Sunshine Coast. Mm-hmm. So we've worked really hard to make sure that we can provide that safe service to these families.
Yes.
So they can express their interest in having a publicly funded home birth either through our email, our expression of interest email, or when the GP sends a referral into the hospital for our care, they're able to put that on their referral pathway as well. And then our midwives working in our midwifery group practice program will reach out to women and just have a chat with them and see if they feel happy and supported to birth at home, and if there's any risks identified, then we'll be able to put them into the model of care that suits them and support them to birth at home.
And for this concept to come to fruition as such, has there been surveys or questions to the public in regard to this space and for it to come to fruition? How did that work?
Yeah, really great question, actually, and probably a good question for our Health Minister, Shannon Fentiman.
Mm.
We have received a lot of consumer feedback, whether that's through surveys or having a yarn with our local people as well to see what services that we could provide. And what women have asked for is for greater choice and greater access to continuity models. And the Health Minister, Shannon Fentiman, has heard that request and has created this exemplar site for Queensland so that we can implement a safe home birth program.
Fantastic. And we're talking old school here, aren't we? I mean, back in the day, before we had so-called hospitals, this was common, wasn't it?
It was common. It was common and still, you know, in other countries it is still quite common.
Yes.
What the difference would be is having the qualified midwife in the home supporting you, and we have those services around the nation. Queensland and Tasmania have been the last states to have a publicly funded home birth. Mm-hmm. So we have, you know, in all of our states, we have privately funded where families go and pay for a private midwife to birth in their home. But this is the first publicly funded site for Queensland, and Tasmania, I'm sure, will pick up and also review these processes.
Well, we are in the 21st century, and look, inevitability, change, what have you. This could be templated across the nation, could it not, Caitlin?
Absolutely, and that's the plan. And our future plans, you know, an exemplar site means that it's not a pilot study. This is business as usual, that we are setting up these processes with the intention of a rollout across the state as the service becomes more established and as we evaluate our service and evaluate how well we're doing and the processes we've set up to ensure a safe provision of care.
And this must take a bit of pressure off the base hospitals around the country or around the state of this situation for this to happen.
Yeah, so we here at the Sunshine Coast, we're averaging approximately about 3,600 births.
Mm.
So if we aim to have 120 home births, then that would take some of that, I guess, as you say, in your words, some pressure off our birthing
yes.
services here by providing that care in the home.
Fantastic. And, of course, conversations are strong with First Nation mothers-to-be?
Yes, yes, we already... without disclosing any confidential information,
yes.
we are absolutely caring for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander families that choose this model of care and who choose to birth at home.
Bring on the babies. Let's increase the population, my dear.
Yes, yes. We've sort of had a bit of a stalemate over the last few years.
Well,
so,
there you
yes,
go.
I think it's wonderful to have more options and more choice and to support our families. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for sharing, Caitlin. Big shout out to your team. And look, all the best. And we will yarn soon, Caitlin.
Absolutely, Trevor. Thanks so much for having me and all the best. Happy to come up to beautiful North Queensland and have a further yarn to you about
Sounds
this
good.
Great service.
Sounds good, Caitlin. You take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Trevor. Bye.
Yes, that was a deadly yarn with Caitlin Matthews, acting midwifery unit manager, and talking about midwives prepare for Queensland's health first home birth program, which is fantastic. Midwives are preparing to assist Queensland's first public health system home birth, and Sunshine Coast will be used as a pilot site for the program, with the first baby due to born within weeks. So fantastic. Great to see mums having an opportunity to make that decision to have their babies at home. Too deadly. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn Up Strong here with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM, Bumper Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly, National Talk Black.
On that sweet sleepy northern town. The tide comes in and the tide goes out. Time waits for no one. You'll find out. Time waits for no one. You'll find out.
Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootchopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootchopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootchopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootchopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootchopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootchopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootchopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wootchopperin on 40801080 to learn more.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernighan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now 1-800-422-416.
Roll my toy, but only my toy, but roll my toy, but roll my toy, but only my toy, but roll 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 my toy, but Seroi patali matoi parol matoi pa Rol matoi patali matoi parol matoi pa Seroi patali matoi parol matoi pa
Salasia kam Killing and pillaging they don't give a damn Burning the villages in a demonic craze Broadswords, knives and their muskets ablaze Oh, Salasia, come listen to my drum.
Roll my toy, party, my toy, roll my toy, roll my toy, party, my toy, roll my toy, roll my toy, party, my toy, roll my toy,
Salasia, come, Pia Drameriam from Lassendam.
ran to the sow, Yabi Alam. An old man and his wife were hacked with a knife. Wasalasi Yakan. Listen to my drum. Salasiyakam, Kometa Milram from Sebek to Kiam. Might get their bones lay exposed to bleach. In the sun, there's blood on the beach. War Salasiyakam, listen to my drum. Remember your past. You will make those same mistakes again. Your future's bright at last. But if you forget your past, you will make those same mistakes again. You lay buried on the shores of Werbadu. I hear your spirit cry like the call of the moon. You call to me, come listen to my drum. You call to me, come listen to my drum. Nima is calling you, come listen to my drum.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumper Bit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob too deadly. Now, public hearing for inquiry into improving the economic self-determination for First Nations Australians. The Joint Standing Committee on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Affairs held a virtual public hearing on 23rd July for its inquiry into improving the economic prosperity for First Nations Australians. I'm going to speak to the chair of that committee, which is a deadly sister, and this deadly sister is the Senator Jana Stewart. Have a Senator on the line. A very good morning, my sister. How are you?
morning to you and all your listeners there, Trendy Trev. An absolute privilege to join you.
And good to be yarning with you, my sister. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Senator.
That is always a very good place to start.
Yes.
So I'm a Muddy Muddy Wamba Wamba woman from northwest Victoria. For anybody who's familiar with Victoria, I'm the Kellys from Balranald, for people who know. But I've got connections to people all along the Murray River and into central Victoria too. So I feel like I'm related to everyone in Victoria.
Too deadly, my sister, too deadly. That's how we go. They got the phrase 6 degrees of separation, but for black fellas, only 2 degrees.
Like, yep, it can either feel suffocating or like a warm hug, you know.
Yeah,
you choose.
True. And they're all at your front door on your payday, you know, but too deadly, too deadly. So quickly before we go into our conversation, Senator Jonah Stewart, tell us who you are. Tell us, as a senator, how long you've been there. Tell us your journey, and let's talk about that first. Let's talk about the person. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you. I feel like I don't really get the opportunity to kind of talk about kind of, you know, who I am in lots of these yarns, so I really appreciate the space that you create here. So I suppose, was driven into politics or drawn to politics out of a desire to really want to make a difference for mob. Lots of my work career has been supporting some of our mob who are doing it the toughest. I'm a family therapist by trade, of all things.
Okay, I was going to ask you that. Family therapist, yes.
Yeah, family therapist.
So go ahead, Annie Jana.
one of my very first jobs out of high school was working with Aboriginal kids in out-of-home care. I remember when I called my nan to tell her that I got this job, she just laughed. Because I was third generation to start working there. It felt like this is a place that I was always meant to be. And it was really my time working with our kids and our families that made me think I need to get qualified. I need to add some extra tools to the toolkit to be able to work with our families and give them every opportunity to succeed in life. While I was doing that work, I was kind of thinking about kind of where are the best places that I can be to continue to kind of increase, it sounds like a jargony term, but, you know, sure. Like your kind of sphere of influence, right? Where can I continue to increase my impact for mob? It's great doing this. It is really meaningful doing the one-on-one work with families. But how do I get to be somewhere where I can influence the policy? How do I get to be somewhere where I can influence what the laws are or where the funding might go or whatever?
And it comes from government.
It really does. Yeah. And I was working in the public service at the time when the state Labor government, the Andrews government, committed to treaty. And that really, for the first time, piqued my interest in politics because I thought that if this is what good governments can do, they can commit to things that I know that our mob have been asking for a long time, but also that will lead to real pragmatic change for our mob, then I've got to find out what this politics thing is about.
Yes, exactly.
so went on a bit of a journey to figure out if politics was for me, and that eventually kind of meant that, as of 2 years ago, I was elected into the Australian Senate as a representative for Victoria.
Okay.
So I'm the first Labor person to be elected into the federal parliament from Victoria.
Okay. First Indigenous?
From Labor, yes. I'm not the first Indigenous person.
No, but from
overall,
Labor.
But first Labor person.
Lovely, beautiful, fantastic. And so here you are, and also now the chair of the committee. So tell us about that seat that you sit on.
Yeah, so I'm the chair of the Joint Standing Committee for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Affairs, which you mentioned at the beginning in your opening.
Okay.
So I took over this committee from the very very respectable and capable Uncle Pat Dodson. He asked me to step into this role. Which, of course, I said yes.
You didn't ask. He told you. You've got to follow the elder. The elder has spoken. Girl, get over here, girl. Hold these reins. These are yours. I'm going to sit down here first.
He's like, shake these mob up, Dort. But so when I took over as chair, it was in a kind of post-referendum, in a post-referendum nation.
Yes.
And one of the things that I'm really interested in is how we get out of this kind of deficit narrative about who we are as a people, and what we contribute to the country. And one of the things that we thought would be useful was to do an inquiry into the economic opportunities and barriers for for prosperity. How do we grow intergenerational wealth for our mob and for our communities, whether that's as an individual, as a First Nations business, or as a nation, as a traditional owner group?
Well, when you look at 60,000 years, and we are professors in all industries, you could say, but here we are in the 21st century, we do have black entrepreneurs out there, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, we do.
And like I said, all the industries. So this investigation, you would have found some numbers, percentages. Can you share those numbers with us, please, Senator?
I would love to share these numbers with you. And mostly because I feel like this is a really kind of undertold story of what it is that we contribute. So, you know, our mob are doing incredible things across the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Melbourne University did... they do a snapshot every year about the economic contribution of First Nations businesses. Mm-hmm. And the snapshot that they released earlier this year, there's data in there that tells us that our businesses generate over $16.1 billion in revenue each year.
Whoa.
Which is huge.
Huge.
It's
a market in itself, isn't it?
Absolutely. Mm. They pay $4.2 billion in wages. They employ more than 116,000 people, which is bigger than, if you're from Victoria, the equivalent to the size of Bendigo.
Sure.
So these are entire...
well, that's black money right there, isn't it?
It is. Mm. It is. But it's fascinating to me that the dominant narrative, the kind of stereotypes that exist out there about us aren't about us as being economic partners in this country and contributing to our economy. But
we are more so. We are at the table, are we not?
So I'm really keen to really start to see that narrative about who we are and what we contribute change, and I'm really hoping that this inquiry can start to shift some of that narrative. We've heard from some really deadly traditional owner organisations, from Aboriginal businesses.
Mm.
We've heard from academics. We've heard from government departments about some of the stuff that they're doing, and from individuals as well.
Mm.
So there's such a breadth of knowledge from people
about
what it is that makes them successful and what it is that the federal government can do to unlock some of those barriers to help mob to thrive even more. So there's some really great things coming out.
And when you're talking about great things coming out, we're talking about black businesses, we're talking about black successes.
Yeah.
This is a powerful tool for closing gaps, is it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we've got the solution to our own problems, don't we, Senator?
Well, I think one of the things for me that I always think about is we focus a lot on whether it's the justice system or the child protection system or whatever it is.
Mm.
And the frame that I think about is, what if we talked about trying to get our young people into jobs instead of talking about how to keep them out of youth justice.
Sure, exactly. Yeah.
How do we support them to thrive in our society today? And there is huge opportunity there with the initiatives that the federal government's got underway. Whether it's the Future Made in Australia, whether it's the transition to a greener Australia and the kind of the green energy transition.
Mm. Yes.
There is absolutely space there for mob to take up.
Yes.
And just and own those spaces.
Well, I look at here we are in Cairns, and look, the other hat I wear is Indigenous. Well, I'm in tourism, and we have a non-Indigenous company that has invested in Indigenous tourism, a vessel called Dreamtime Dive and Snorkel. So we got Indigenous workers on board the boat there, so taking people, tourists, out to the reef to see Nemo dive and snorkel, but cultural aspect, we deliver cultural aspect. We're close with the traditional owners and permission to tell the Dreamtime story. I mean, Indigenous tourism is a $50 billion industry. So, that's what I'm saying, that we are professors in all fields, all industries, and we need more black successes, don't we, Senator?
Absolutely. And, you know, we've heard from some deadly people like the Jardaran Clan's Aboriginal Corporation is talking about doing a yabby farm here in Victoria and being the biggest yabby farm in the southern hemisphere, which is deadly.
Yes.
Right? we've heard from your own peak body for native title organisations talking about how you can resource traditional owner corporations better to be able to take advantage of lots of the federal government initiatives and make sure those benefits are flowing to mob on the ground. Mm. And the clean energy network crew talking about what it is we need to do to make sure that mob are at the table and reaping the benefits from the transition to a greener country. So there is lots of work to do, and I've been so privileged to be a part of these conversations and leading these conversations and celebrating black excellence.
Because
like I want that to be the narrative about who we are. You know, whether you're talking about Senator Briggs launching his Indigenous music label or the launch of Australia's first dedicated First Nations business news service, the Indigenous Business Review, celebrating and kind of bookmarking each of these achievements and milestones along the way is really important.
Of course it is.
And, you know, that's what deadly, stations like yours do too.
Exactly.
You know, they're such an important platform to celebrating black excellence.
Exactly. So with the public hearing, before the inquiry, the outcome, and what do we do with the outcome, Senator?
So public inquiry, so I don't know if it's useful to kind of talk about the committee process.
Yeah, usually probably boring out there for a lot of people, but, you know.
It is a bit boring, but it is important because because it is how everyday people, like mob, can have a say in these processes. That go towards influencing policy, legislation, funding. Committee inquiries happen all the time on any number of things. Like, for example,
it's like a survey, it's like a research to find out.
It's not like going out for consultation on legislation.
Exactly.
So almost every piece of legislation goes out for an inquiry, for example. And everyday people are invited to submit their views on that. And when I say submit their views, that can be through something as simple as an email.
Yep.
It could be writing a 20-page document if that's what fills your cup.
Mm.
Of ways you can kind of get involved. But
and you can talk in layman's term as well. Just talk how you feel. Yep. You don't have to be highly educated or talk in big, muscly, deadly words. Just talk you.
That's exactly right. Talk in the language that you feel comfortable in and that you feel best represents your views. Absolutely. I'm a big fan of plain talk.
Yeah, good.
And so the inquiry that I've got underway has been going for a couple of months. It is due to finish at the end of the year. So the report will be put into the Parliament. So in the last sitting week of the year, which is November.
Yes.
So all these kind of hearings along the way, we're kind of going along, getting people's views, building that evidence, building the information. All that is so useful to help us figure out what it is that contributes to success, what it is we need to do as a federal government to support Aboriginal people and businesses and nations to thrive. So we've had a couple of hearings already. We've got a couple coming up.
And it's open to the public. And how do people add to the conversation, Sister?
So if you get in touch, you can. It's usually on the Parliament website, but if you follow any of my social media pages, you'll see it on there as well. So you can get me on pretty much any of the platforms. If you just look up Jana Stewart Vic, you can follow me on there, and I'm often sharing the hearing information, and it's also where when the report is tabled. That's a kind of technical term, but essentially that's when you kind of, you're presenting your homework to the Parliament.
Okay, yes.
You're doing your homework, you're saying this is when it's due, you've got to bring it to the Parliament by the due date. From that point, it's public.
Okay.
So it means anybody can access it, and I'll probably share it on my social media after that too.
Yep.
Because it'll be, you know, the result of a bunch of hard work. Lots of people's knowledge and time have gone into developing that.
Yes.
So it'll be great to get to that point in November to be able to share all that.
So confirming, Senator Jana, J-A-N-A, and Stewart with the W?
Yes, that's right.
Yep. Okay, Jana
and Vic,
Stewart.
V-I-C.
Vic, so Jana Victoria.
Yep, Jana Stewart Vic is my handle on lots, on all my social media.
Okay.
So you can jump on there and give me a follow.
Good.
So that's where, you'll get to keep updated on the inquiry work that's underway. But also you get to see, little bits and pieces about how the Parliament works and what it is that a senator gets up to. And you get to see a little bit about my family and my boys and all that kind of stuff. So you get to see a little bit of behind-the-scenes stuff, too, about the person, which is where we started.
Yep, is where you started. Now, you've got two boys, have you?
I've got two boys.
How old are they?
Two-year-old and eight-year-old.
Two and eight.
Yep.
Babies.
Babies. So I did my first speech in Parliament when I was 35 weeks pregnant. It's the juggle, but you know, lots of other working mums do the juggle too.
Yes.
So I'm in good company.
Good, fantastic. Girls can do anything, my sister.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Hey, good yarning with you. Thank you very much, Senator. More power to you. This is fantastic, and we need this information.
Yes.
It empowers our people. It speaks for us. It's a voice for us, especially at the business level, entrepreneur level, you know. And self-determination level, of course, you know. But thank you for your yarn. And big shout-out to Hannah. Thank Hannah for allowing this interview to go ahead. We've been chasing each other for yarn.
We have. And I'd be very happy to come back and have a yarn to you too when the report's released after November.
Good.
So happy to come back and share it with your listeners and your good self what the recommendations of the inquiry is.
That sounds deadly, my sister. I will let you be. Keep smiling, stay warm, and we will yarn soon, sister.
Deadly. I'll chat to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn, deadly yarn there. That's Senator Jana Stewart, and she's also the chair of the committee, and the committee is Joint Standing Committee on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island Affairs, and they held a virtual public hearing on the 23rd of July for its inquiry into improving their economic prosperity for First Nations Australians. So that is there and there. So you can follow Jana Stewart, Senator, on her different social medias. Jana, J-A-N-A, Stewart with the W, S-T-E-W-A-R-T, Vic for Victoria, Vic. So there it is. Follow her, inquire, just to get information. And also you can add to the conversation. So there it is. And that's what it's all about. And there's Daily Yarn here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. National Talk Black, yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly.
No people, you're gonna violent that man up on me standing in equal. All the allies talking treaty on the microphone, leave the Baker Boys the next episode of the sequel. We need to find a way to be really proud, spiritually loud, end up high in the cloud. I'm like a bird looking down. Every woman, every man, I'm a god, I can reboot my clan connected to the land. Limit treaty, Yama, do I not put a wang, I do I know my lang, I put down, see that I did a wang out. That way, you're gonna make you move my respect to the allies that passed on, left us the legacy and something to carry on. Let's get it on. Call our old man, keep the fire burning strong.
Well, they heard it on the radio, and they saw it on the television. Back in 1988, all those talking politicians.
Hot, we,
sweet,
yeah. Hot, we,
take a stand. All languages, tribes, laws, and bands. Two more ideas, just like yin and yang. Promises can't disappear into the sand. We gotta put all differences aside. 40,000 years we have survived. Through the forced simulation and the genocide. Can't cry anymore cause the trees are dry. All plans side by side, it's so critical. People say this will take a miracle. Wait, the political party's all clinical. It's about something more spiritual. That way you'll know Malali and the gay world. While you make you rip within and never make you rip within. You do more, not a nanga, marma, ulma, na, mara, mara, kamara, you dare find out.
Worth a easy, worth a cheap. Much cheaper than a finalist. But promises can disappear like writing in the sand.
One land, one mob, that's all we believe in. This needs to happen now. Do we really need a reason? Not here to take over, here to take back. Written all over your face, brother man, face facts. For centuries, my people felt trapped. And to think a piece of paper could have changed all that. But as it stands, the paper's blank. It's not okay to be okay with that. Let's rewrite history, spirit, mental, and physically. Still no treaty, it's killing me.
Dead brother did song.